Welcome back, everybody, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. We have a topic today. We're continuing with immigration and divorce. Immigration has with it a lot of fear when a divorce comes up in a couple where one is a foreign national and one is a U.S. citizen. And so I wanted to spend time with several immigration attorneys so that you can learn what not to fear and how to handle aspects of your upcoming divorce if you do have a lot of fear. Today we have the pleasure of interviewing attorney Doreen Emenicki with the law offices of Doreen Emenicki. Welcome, Doreen.
Thank you.
So Doreen, like many, not all, immigration attorneys, is a U.S. citizen, but not by birth. And what I'm finding, Doreen, is in the immigration attorneys that, with whom I speak, who were not born in the United States, the issue of immigration was obviously close to their heart when they came here, became U.S. citizens, and thereby went into law to help others. Is that your motivation?
Yes, it is.
And your country of origin is?
I was born in England.
How long ago did you come here?
I came here quite a while ago because I've been doing this now for about 20 years.
And always we're in the Los Angeles area, so yes. This is where Doreen practices. Mm-hmm. Do you find in the area that you're in, which is near Pasadena, do you find a prevalence of any culture here as opposed to any other place in Los Angeles or a mix?
I think it's a mix over here as well.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's just start because this is a fascinating topic and I know people have their own questions as they're listening. So, Doreen, what is the role and what are the responsibilities of the U.S. citizen when marrying an immigrant or foreign national? Same term.
Yes. Okay. An immigrant would be someone who's not an American, who's from another country, who wants to live here permanently, immigrate to America. And the U.S. citizen would normally file a petition with the Immigration Department, USCIS, saying that they want their husband or wife to live here permanently. And so they will file a permanent residency application.
And what is the U.S. citizen called in relation to the foreign national?
Well, for immigration purposes, they would be the petitioner. They would be the person petitioning for their foreign-born spouse.
I've also heard the word sponsor used. Is that one and the same?
People usually use sponsor. They use sponsor in that regard, but they also use sponsor when they're sometimes talking of an affidavit of support, maybe a financial document that is used. So you could say the petitioner, you could say I'm sponsoring my wife, but people usually say I petition my wife, but they could also be considered the sponsor.
Okay. I I'm thinking in my own head, the word sponsor or the idea of sponsor has with it certain responsibilities, inherent responsibilities, like what is the financial responsibility of the U.S. citizen in relation to the foreign national?
The responsibility of the U.S. citizen is when they're filing the petition, they have to file an affidavit of support. And an affidavit of support is considered to be an enforceable contract that the government can enforce against the U.S. citizen. So the U.S. citizen's spouse is saying, I have enough money to support my foreign-born spouse, and I will apply my money towards their upkeep instead of them having to file for maybe government benefits or something like that.
See, I think this is what a lot of Americans worry about, a drain, so to speak, on the economy of the United States if people come here who can't support themselves. it was my learning lesson when I dove into the whole issue of immigration that no, just what you said, there is a responsibility on the part of the U.S. citizen to be able to financially take care of the immigrant or foreign national until that person, I guess, is able to go into the workforce themselves.
Yes, it's enforceable. It lasts for a long time, such as up until the person becomes a U.S. citizen, or they've worked for approximately 10 years, and there they've accumulated enough credits. And also, something that a lot of people aren't aware of, a lot of foreigners are not eligible for benefits here. A lot of the time for the benefits, you need to have been born in America, you need to be here legally, you need to have accumulated work quarters. So you can't just come in and apply for something.
Like food stamps.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So a lot of foreigners aren't eligible. They can't just go and apply for these things. But the affidavit of support is also the government's way of saying that, let's say, for instance, you go and you're sick in the hospital, you can't, first of all, you have to be eligible for any government benefits. But on the off chance that you used some, then the government can come and say, okay, you sponsored her and she used these benefits. You need to pay us back the money.
Oh, now I'm wondering, Doreen, do U.S. citizens truly understand the responsibility they're taking on? What have you found in your practice?
I think most of them do because, first of all, a lot of them, just like the average husband and wife or average spouses of whatever gender, they support each other. They understand when they're getting married that they're going to support each other in good times and bad. And sometimes the American-born can lose the job and it's the foreigner that's footing the bills when they get, yes.
I didn't even think about that.
Uh-huh.
Because of course that can happen
exactly.
to anybody.
Exactly.
So what do you do in a situation where life gets in the way? The U.S. citizen has a fabulous job and it goes away for whatever reason. Now you have the foreign national who maybe doesn't have the best grasp on the English language yet or feels confident to work. What do you do?
Well, in most situations that I've seen, the foreign national has worked abroad and is able to work. So oftentimes what holds them back is having a permit to work. And so when you file for a green card, at the same time, you can also file for a work permit. And once the foreign national has a work permit, which is permission to work or employment authorization card, they can go out and look for a job. And sometimes, even if they don't speak English, they often do, but even if they don't speak English, they can find jobs within the community or other things or jobs that a fantastic command of English isn't required.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. So let's now go into marriage. People meet, they hopefully fall in love, and they get married. So one of the concerns, I think, just in general with Americans is a U.S. citizen will marry simply for the favor of providing a new life for a foreign national, but not with the intention of a lifelong marriage. And we've heard the term bona fide marriage. I've heard this term, and I want to share this with everybody through you. What is a bona fide marriage in the eyes of the Immigration Service and not just a marriage for convenience temporarily?
Okay, a bona fide marriage is a marriage that is for a reason other than evading the immigration laws. Now, I say for a reason other than evading the immigration laws because sometimes people marry for love. But sometimes people marry for other reasons. And we often forget that not everybody is looking for a love marriage.
Like even in the United States, U.S. exactly. citizen to so, U.S. citizen.
Exactly. Sometimes yeah. people marry for companionship, but they may not love each other. Sometimes people marry for convenience, but it's still a real marriage. They're just not in love.
Because they're committed.
Exactly.
To staying married.
Okay. Exactly. So as long as it's not for you to, for the purpose of you evading immigration laws, and so you intend to be married and spend your life together. And so immigration will look at a variety of factors.
So what if immigration is suspicious? And we're going to get into the discussion of divorce in a second. What would be aspects of a marriage that would not be described as bona fide?
Well, you know, when people, if somebody's marrying just to get a green card, then obviously that's not bona fide as far as immigration is concerned. And so immigration will look at how you two live together, if you're commingling your lives and your assets.
Very important for the divorce discussion too is how assets are divided and assigned. Yes. Okay, so that would be something immigration would look at.
Yes.
Are you commingling?
Yes.
Actually, are you living together?
Yes.
Do you have the same address?
Yes. Do you have joint bills? Do you have a will? Do you have insurance? Do you have, you know, joint bank accounts? You, not everybody has a joint bank account. I mean, even U.S. citizen to U.S. citizen, not everybody wants to commingle.
That
but
is
there's
true.
So many things
that, is true.
That they will look at. Whether you have children together, you know, families, things like that. But like you said, whether you live together.
Okay. So let's just say we do have a bona fide marriage. What are the different levels of status for the foreign national once they enter the marriage and as the marriage progresses?
Okay. Your status is determined by you filing. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm married to an American now. I'm an American. No, you're not. You have to file. And first of all, your application will be approved and you'll be granted legal permanent residency. Now, if you've been married for less than 2 years at the time immigration approves your petition, then you'd be given a conditional resident status. And then that lasts for 2 years. And before that expires, you'd apply for your permanent residency. Now, sometimes if you've been married for longer than 2 years, at the time immigration approves your petition, then you'd be given the legal permanent residency status at that time. And so the difference is, one, you would apply, it's only good for 2 years, and the other is good long-term. Immigration had an overhaul around 1986, and one of the things they did was to make sure that people stayed married for 2 years before applying for the permanent green card to reduce the incidence of marriage fraud, whereby someone would come in, you know, woo an American off their feet and then get the green card and divorce them immediately.
So this can actually happen in the opposite too, that perhaps the foreign national might not be as upfront on the level, so to speak, with their intentions.
Sometimes.
It's very interesting. It can come on both ways. But
yes.
the point I wanted to ask you to make is, in no way does marriage make you a U.S. citizen,
no.
correct?
No.
You have to apply for it. You have to
you have
go
to
through
get,
the testing.
Yes. And then you get legal permanent residency status first. Then after a number of years, if you meet the requirements for U.S. citizenship, then you would apply for U.S. citizenship and be approved. So that's a completely different process. Sometimes some people don't want to be U.S. citizens. They just want to be able to live here with their partner. And then
legally without
yes,
a problem.
Yes,
yeah.
And
okay.
not necessarily take on U.S. citizenship.
So you probably don't watch the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
No.
These Real Housewives series on Bravo, but we got a lesson, those of us who watch.
Yes.
We got a lesson recently with a couple that had been on the show for 7 or 8 years. They were the original cast members. Husband, Joe Giudice, he was in national news.
Oh, right.
Wife, Teresa, each go to jail for tax fraud, tax invasion, mail fraud.
Yes.
Some very serious things. That he never applied for U.S. citizenship. And now that he committed federal crimes, he's in Italy where he was born.
Yes, that happens, definitely.
And he's been here forever. I mean, he raised a family. He was a child when he came here. He's in his 40s or 50s.
Yes.
So he's lived a full life here. But because of that crime, he had to go back.
Yes.
Marriage did not make him a citizen.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, can divorce interrupt the progress in status, the progress in reaching the two-year level and beyond? Can divorce interrupt this?
Yes. Now, let's say you got married, applied for the green card, and got divorced. Then you may not get, if the application wasn't approved before you got the green card, you may end up never getting a green card.
And this is what people are worried about when they come to my office. And this is what started me on this journey of wanting immigration attorneys to come on the show, because it happens.
Yes.
At least in Southern California. It's got to happen in many other states.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the 2-year benchmark with the green card.
If you've been married for less than 2 years at the time your application is approved, yes.
That's when you should worry.
Yes. And then sometimes, in some cases, now immigration also recognizes that sometimes you could have married somebody in good faith, done everything, given up your life where you live, invested all your time and efforts, and for some reason the marriage didn't work out or you were subjected to extreme cruelty. There is a way you can apply for a waiver, and immigration can look at it on a case-to-case basis.
I recently heard of a case, married under 3 years, but over two. The foreign national was the wife, and the wife found out about another side to the husband's life that she didn't know about prior to getting married. She should probably not worry. She's been over 2 years with her status, and B, she learned something that was problematic to the continuation of the marriage.
Well, in that kind of instance, I would ask her to speak to an immigration attorney and share the details, and then they can advise her based on her situation.
Okay.
As to whether she has something to worry about or if there is a way to resolve her immigration status, even if she were to get divorced.
Okay, now, where does the worry about deportation come in? So the foreign national has done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They've come here in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
They have been asked for the divorce.
Yes.
We're either slightly under 2 years or slightly over 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a fear, should there be a fear of deportation?
Well, if they don't have their status, so it's not really the length of the marriage, it's whether they have the status or not. If they have a permanent green card that's not subject to restrictions, like a 2-year restriction, then they have nothing to worry about. But if they have a green card that will expire after 2 years and they're getting a divorce, then they really do need to speak to an immigration attorney.
I think speaking to an immigration attorney, regardless of how many years you've been married, is a good idea, don't you think?
It is.
Because there's so much fear. There's so much fear normally wrapped up into divorce.
Yes.
Without immigration being an issue.
Exactly.
And now we've put this on top of it.
I agree.
Yeah. And, you know, people think they're disloyal. I get this all the time by talking to attorneys, and my endless education is, no, you're being smart. Just because you're talking to an attorney doesn't mean you want to hurt the other person. You just want to be educated, correct?
I agree. Oftentimes when people come to see me, I don't do anything. I don't initiate anything. I give them advice. I give them information. And then with that information, they can look at their personal circumstances and decide what's best for them. So sometimes when you go to see an attorney, you're not going to see an attorney because you want to do something. You're going to speak to an attorney to get information, to learn for education.
So well said and so important. Can the foreign national file for divorce?
Now, the divorce is separate from immigration, so the general family law principles will apply. Anybody can initiate a divorce, U.S. born or not.
So is it correct then to say all you need to do is meet the residency requirement in whatever county and whatever state you're living in?
For a divorce?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so for California, since we both live here, the residency requirements are that you have to live 3 months in the county in which you're going to file, contiguous to the filing, and 6 months anywhere in the state of California, contiguous to the filing.
Okay.
That's pretty easy residency requirement. But I have to tell you, I have run into a few people where I said, no, you have to wait a month or two. Because if you want to file in Los Angeles County,
yes,
or Orange County, Ventura,
yes,
you know, the counties I file in.
Yes.
No, you're a shade under, so
yes,
they have to wait for that.
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's go to one of the other issues that comes into a divorce in general, but has an extra layer in immigration, and that is spousal support.
Okay.
In spousal support in the state of California, under 10 years, it's half the length of the marriage. Over 10 years, it's negotiable up to life or until one party dies. Let's add the layer on that the foreign national and the U.S. citizen petitioner needs to know about.
The same family law principles will apply, foreign born or otherwise. The thing that sometimes, I've never experienced this before, but sometimes you would hear of a case whereby a divorce attorney is trying to get an affidavit of support in order to buttress their claim that the U.S. citizen is required to support their spouse. But personally, that's never been an issue. So the same principles will apply, but every now and then you do hear of the odd case where that's coming to play. But since it's a divorce matter, it's not something that we handle as immigration attorneys, or we see it come up.
So would it come in the area of family law?
Yes.
Okay, so what I have learned, and tell me if this is true, I have learned that it is a federal law that for 10 years, from the date of the divorce being final, 10 years beyond that, the U.S. citizen is responsible to make sure their foreign national spouse is provided for up to 125% above the poverty level.
Well, it's not that they're provided for. The poverty guidelines are that you should have 125% over the poverty guidelines for immigration purposes. So immigration wants to see that your income is such that you have enough money, but not necessarily that you must provide for. They just want to be sure that you have enough money to support your household. And one way of doing that is looking at the poverty guideline and fixing an amount above the poverty guideline that they want you to earn no less than. So for divorce purposes and immigration purposes, they're two different things that we're looking at. Immigration is just looking at you being able to meet that so that your foreign-born spouse doesn't fall into financial hardship and look to the government.
Yes, that's what I assumed. And so The 125% over the poverty line.
Yes.
What is the poverty? What it do you changes, have to make a year for the poverty?
It changes line? Every year, and then it depends on the number of people in your household.
Oh, that didn't come yes. up in any of my other conversations.
Yes, the number of people in your household. And again, when we're looking at the number of people in your household, we're looking at the ages of, I mean, whether they're dependents. So let's say you have another adult who happens to live with you. She's your sister and she's working. She's not necessarily a member of your household. But if you had a child under 18 that was dependent on you, then that child of yours would be considered, would be counted in your household.
Okay, and that would adjust the income that you should be making in order to just adequately, basically support
yes.
those people, yourself yes. and the dependents.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Let's flip the switch just a little bit and let's discuss, Doreen, why a U.S. citizen spouse might not file for divorce in what is a fairly unhealthy marriage.
They could, if they haven't got their green card, or sometimes they're just afraid of the unknown. Sometimes the U.S. citizen spouse will threaten the foreign-born. Is that the question?
Well,
foreign-born?
I were going to actually do both sides of it. So
okay.
you chose the side of why the foreign national might not file for divorce, right?
Yes.
Because they're afraid of the green card status.
Yes, yes.
And let's just pursue that. What should they do? Let's just say they're in an abusive marriage.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter how we describe it, verbally, physically, they're in an abusive marriage.
Yes.
Maybe they can't go out. Maybe they're threatened that they must stay in the house.
Yes.
I've heard of this as well.
Me too.
Control.
Yes.
What should they do?
They need to speak to an attorney and find out what their rights are or their options. Immigration has also recognized that this is a problem sometimes where people bring in foreign-born spouses and essentially make them prisoners using the green card as a way of control. In some instances, they'll bring in foreign-born spouses and decline to file for their papers and then tell them, threaten them with immigration. Oh, immigration will carry you off and you'll never see your children again. You can't go out of the house, you can't do anything, and the women are too afraid or the partners are too afraid to leave the house because they're undocumented. And so in some instances, there's a procedure whereby they can file for their papers using a safe address if they have to flee or if they're not able to. Because sometimes spouses will file and seize the paperwork or refuse to file the paperwork. And I've even had a case where a spouse went to an interview and tried to sabotage the interview so the foreign-born spouse wouldn't get their green card.
So deportation is an enormous fear. And this is 2020, and we've gone through the last couple of years of pretty intense fear.
Yes.
With foreign nationals. So we have a situation where we have a very frightened foreign national, afraid to leave the house. What if they get stopped on the street? What if they don't have transportation? What is their recourse if they become brave and try and go to an attorney to seek advice and somehow they're stopped? What are their options?
Well, it depends on how long they've been here, but they should always speak to an attorney. Even if immigration were to pick them up, they should have a family member contact an attorney. And because you can only help somebody based on that person's particular situation, certain things make a big difference immigration-wise when the person entered the U.S., how they entered the U.S., how long they've lived in the U.S., if they have U.S. citizen family members, if they've been deported before, committed any immigration violations. These are all certain things that an immigration attorney would want to know in order to be able to help the person.
What if the foreign national knows their spouse did not file the paperwork properly? Can they contact an immigration attorney and have that turned around in their favor?
Yes. There are certain things you can do, because sometimes you do have cases where the US citizen won't file the application or will seize things or refuse to attend the interview and things like that. There are things you can do, but you can only do them if you speak to an attorney or seek help at, let's say, a legal clinic or...
That's what I was going to ask you next. So for the people who really don't have access to money,
yes,
there's that level of control.
Yes.
Are there free services?
Yes, there are places like the Public Counsel or the Legal Aid Foundation that they can contact and see if there's help for them. Some places will assist them for free. Some will help on a sliding scale, and some will assist them with filing the petitions on their own.
Okay, that's really great to know. So what do they look up? What Legal Aid Foundation?
Yes.
They can look that up.
Yes.
What about Public Counsel? How do they look that up?
They can type in the name, look for their phone number or their address, and contact them.
How many offices around, well, we're in Los Angeles County, let's just use us as an example. How many offices are around LA County? Do you put in your zip code? If you go in the Google search bar and you put in either Public Counsel or Legal Aid Foundation for immigration, do you put your zip code in to get the closest office, or is everything downtown?
They have offices. Well, Public Counsel, I don't know how many offices they have. I know Legal Aid has more than one office. And then there are various neighborhood legal clinics as well. For instance, where in this city, there's a Legal Aid clinic. I mean, there's a clinic for lower income people who
right.
can't afford to use an attorney. They have an attorney there that will provide, assist them for free or on a reduced.
Okay, this is so good to know.
Yes.
This is so good to know, because there are people who are in the situation of bad living situation, and how the heck do they get out of it?
Yes.
I want to finish up with just a couple more things. If the immigrant spouse has a child that was born in their home country, can the U.S. citizen spouse adopt a child?
So you mean the foreign-born citizen, the
yes.
foreign-born person?
Yes.
They can. Now, if the U.S. citizen and foreign-born, let's say husband and wife, for this example, got married, and the wife who was born abroad happened to have a child who was under 18 at the time of the marriage, for immigration purposes, the child will be considered the stepchild or child of the U.S. citizen, and they can come in. They can file and come in as an immediate relative, which is faster. So the age of the child at the time of marriage is important. Yes, they can come in.
And the age meaning the child has to be a minor under 18 years
under 18
of age?
At the time of marriage.
At the time of marriage?
Yes.
Okay.
And they don't need to adopt them. They don't need to have a formal adoption in order to bring them into America.
Okay, that's fine. And, you know, I deal with a lot of couples where this is a second or third marriage, and so the children enter the current marriage with other parent, with at least one other parent.
Yes.
And I find that typically there's just, the child enjoys three parents
yes.
instead of two parents.
Yes.
And hopefully it's a wonderful situation. Okay. Eventually, the child can become a U.S. citizen?
Yes. They have to meet the residency requirements. So when they come in, they will apply for a green card, or they will get a green card and when they enter, depending on the nature of their application. And then when they meet the citizenship requirements, they can apply for citizenship. If they're approved, then that's when they become a U.S. citizen.
Excellent. Excellent. And in a divorce situation, I'll add, because I've talked about this a lot and dealt with it, that if there are X number of years and a bonding experience between the child of the foreign national, and the U.S. citizen parent, and then there's a divorce, that U.S. citizen parent has responsibilities for the upkeep of the child. Is that your experience?
Well, you know, again, they would have to look at the whatever agreement they reached with their family law attorney or the spousal support agreement at the time of their divorce. So that's what would govern whatever agreement the parties reached.
Okay, very good. And then lastly, you've been so great. This is excellent information. What is your advice to any foreign national who is considering divorce or who has been asked for a divorce?
Speak to an attorney. Don't worry. Everything will be okay one way or the other.
That's excellent advice. I feel better. You know what? But that's so important, Doreen, because everybody's fearful in divorce. You're not being disloyal because you're speaking to an attorney. And don't you think it's prudent that an immigration attorney is brought into the mix for both spouses?
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah, because both spouses need to know what the responsibilities are going forward, not only from a family law attorney, but now from an immigration attorney.
Yes.
And everything will be the best.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Doreen. And if people would like to get in touch with you, how do they?
They could visit our website, MNEKlaw.com.
Spell it, please.
That's E, M for Mary, E, N for Nancy, IKELAW.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. This was quite enjoyable. I really appreciated the time you gave us. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host, your amicable divorce expert, and you can get in touch with me through email, Judy, J-U-D-Y, at constructiveuncoupling.com. Judy at constructiveuncoupling.com. And I will talk to you in our next episode.